Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
All right. Time for another installment of It's My House. And today's podcast is titled Reverse Mortgages versus Hidden Household Assets. Once again, Reverse Mortgages versus Hidden Household Assets. Live stream number 619-768-2945. All right. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the goose that laid the golden egg. The goose that lays the golden eggs is your house. And we're going with a situation that a house has a reverse mortgage on it. A person has passed away. And you got a big debt that you got to pay off. And we're talking about to the heirs that want to hold on to the property and keep it within the family, so to speak, because it's an ancestral home. It's an ancestral home. All right. That's the golden goose, or the goose. Now, the hidden assets or the hidden household assets, those are the golden eggs. So, what we want to do today is open up your mind on how to recognize these golden eggs. Now, these golden eggs will produce a cash flow. Matter of fact, what I'm going to recommend today is if you're considering a reverse mortgage, there's a better alternative and you don't have to borrow any money. And that is, let's take the piece of property or that you're in. And this comes under the heading of accessory dwelling units, ADUs, accessory accessory dwelling units. And you can probably look that up by the code in many parts of the United States. All right, accessory dwelling units, ADUs. Now, some places are more liberal than others, but we're just going with the fundamentals today. Now, take a look at your house, and we're going to look for some hidden assets that can produce a cash flow for you that are already within the infrastructure of the house. And the three basic categories are attached ADUs. These are ADUs attached to the physical building, the mainframe building. All right. Detached ADUs on the same plot of land, but it's separate in a separate building. I mean, you can separate building. And then the third is the existing space, possibly, you know, potential existing space in your building where you live, but it can be repurposed. All right. Let's start with just the building, and let's look at something that is internal. Okay. Do you have an attic that is large enough that you can convert into an income-producing apartment? And with an ADU, accessory dwelling unit, all right, it needs to have an independent bathroom, private bathroom, sleeping quarters, and let's say kitchen, and a separate entrance. So, is there a way to get to that attic without coming through the front door of the house, where you're in contact with the other people living in the building? All right, does it have a separate entrance, or can a separate entrance be affordably made? Because it might not have one, but can you make one? Is the attic large enough where you can have living quarters, and is there a bathroom up there already, or can you install one? That's a hidden asset that can produce cash flow for it, which can help you pay off the reverse mortgage. Next option, same building. All right. Maybe there are no possibilities in the attic. What about the basement? Does the basement have a separate entrance? Is there a bathroom in that basement that is separate from the one in the main part of the house for privacy and whatnot? Or can one be affordably installed? So is the basement. So those are two hidden assets that can be made into income-producing assets that can help you reverse what I call reverse-to-reverse mortgage. All right? And a lot of people have those options. They might have one option, they might have two options, or the possibility might be there. Just use your imagination and look at some floor plans, call the contractor you need to, or any man, and go from there. All right, that's internal. All right, the next one would be attached. With the building that you already have, the main primary unit that you already have that you're living in, can you add on an addition? All right. And with the addition, you would have a separate entrance, bathroom and kitchen, and a proper amount of living space. All right, and a lot of people are familiar with additions. The third option is a detached. You got plenty of space in that backyard where you can build a granny pod, as some may call it, a mother-in-law cottage, a she shed, a man cave. They all got all kind of names out here today. But can you build an income producing building, ADU, accessory dwelling unit, in that backyard? Some places in the United States, and there are plenty of places in the United States you can do it. Other places, you can't do it. Some places you don't need permission. Many places you need permission, but it's not a big hassle. Other places is a little bit more complicated, and in other places it's a flat out no. So you have to look at what's going on in your neck of the woods. Let's say you're in a highly populated area with a lot of density, and you can't do any of that with the property that you have. Then drive, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, maybe 90 minutes. I would even go up to 2-hour drive within a 2-hour radius of where you live and look for various communities in which you can do this and build this. And I'm gonna play a gazillion times the solar cabin, but where you can build something that reduces income. And that's what I'm going to recommend. Instead, those who are considering a reverse mortgage, don't get it. Reverse mortgages, number one, a lot of people who get a reverse mortgage, typically a lot of them are mortgage-free. And even if you need some money, don't borrow it off your house because it's going to devalue the price of your house. And each month that you don't pay it back, you owe that money, and that accumulates. Whereas you can build an income-producing property, a small one. It can be a cabin or a tiny house or what have you, and use that for income. And it increases the value, and increases in value particularly if you add it on to the house that you're in. We're going to have live workshops on how to do that. Right now, we're going to play Solar Cabin because this is what you can do if you want a reverse mortgage. Build one of these. It doesn't cost that much, and rent it out. Use that money to reverse a reverse mortgage.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on. with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
And we're currently working on an opportunity that you can even get on with us. Well, we'll practice Dr. Claude Anderson's group economics. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.